Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much to those who have reached out to me to express your satisfaction with and enjoyment of this series. I truly appreciate it, as I'm sure that my guest does as well. And as I mentioned, we've been doing a series on five element balancing Qigong and going through the different organ systems and sharing with you how they express themselves, what the expression is of the energy dealing with those particular systems. So I want to get to my guest because I'm ready to dine, as I know that you are as well. So in case you're tuning in for the very first time and you're not familiar with my special guest today, again, that's Shekhemeta Unetta. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Well, Shekhemeta Unetta was born in Georgetown, Guyana, and immigrated to the United States as a child. He received his bachelor's degree in English literature from Bernard M. Baruch College, that's the City University of New York, where he completed his first novel. Yeah, he completed a novel and finished his first book of poems, which is called Negril, Poetry of the Bold. And he also studied the Chinese classic text, the I Ching, and the Taoist classic texts, including the Huang Dinijin and the Dao De Jing. He was then introduced to African cosmology and oracular systems by his spiritual teacher, Shekhem Shekhem Ra'un Nefer Amen I, the world-renowned best-selling author, lecturer, spiritual teacher, health practitioner, and counselor. Shekhemeta Unetta pursued master's degree programs in English literature, policy analysis, health and mental hygiene administration, and also has an advanced degree in the Japanese martial arts system of Aikido. In addition, he completed advanced training in the Chinese healing system of Tai Chi. He taught Aikido, Qigong, meditation, and yoga classes for 3 years. He lectures regularly on the martial arts circuit on Qigong healing. Also, in 2003, he began graduate studies in traditional Chinese medicine, that's TCM, at Pacific College of Oriental Medicine, that's PCOM, in New York City. He received a MSTOM degree in acupuncture and Chinese herbs from PCOM, and he is also a priest in the Osara Set Society. So, that's a lot, and I am very, very pleased, humbled, and honored to have such a guest as my special guest this afternoon. And welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine, Shekhemeta Unetta. I've been waiting for this week to get by so that we could get back to this powerful, powerful information that you've been sharing with us. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, and welcome back again.
It is, as I mentioned before, it is my pleasure and my part of my excitement to share with you this information. And I'm just touched by your humility and your ability to get these information out over the airwaves, and that's what we need to do. So congratulations, and again, welcome back again.
Well, it's been a powerful, powerful series. I know that people have been learning an awful lot. You know, Qigong is a system that is obviously so beneficial to us and our culture, and has been studied and practiced for over 3,000 years by the Chinese. And so just having the opportunity to be introduced to a system that has so many benefits to it is truly, truly just a blessing. So, again, I thank you so much for being my guest today. So today we're going to pick up where we left off. I guess last week we were wanted to wrap up the kidney urinary bladder portion of the series. There's a lot to cover. Again, we've been covering a lot of information, and I just encourage everybody to go back and listen to the archives, because there's a lot of information to digest, and you can start with the overview and, you know, work your way up, and you have an opportunity to go back and listen again and again and again. So, again, today we're going to be discussing the kidney urinary bladder system. So let me sit back. I'm going to get my pen and paper ready so that I can just enjoy this meal that you're about to serve to us tonight.
Just to follow up on what you just said about Qigong, the uniqueness about the five element balance in Qigong, unique, and I say unique because I want to draw this distinction that is separate from a lot of the other Qigong practices that are out there, is that with the five element balance in Qigong, and especially the books by Shakum Shakum Ra and Ephraim Man, we have been able to link the connection between the Chinese traditional Qigong physical exercises with the comedic spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we're able to bring it home so that you can relate it to your everyday life.
Yes.
Right? Qigong is not something that you just go to a dojo or a school or a piece in the park and seclude yourself from practice. No, it's every day. I'm going to try to wrap this up by showing the connection that it's the everyday living of the truth that is Qigong.
Mm.
Right, and the physical exercises that we do raise the chi, raise our life force, so that we be able to combat those elements that destroy our life cycles, you know, the conditionings, the virtues that we talked about. So that's a nice way to talk about it, because the kidney is responsible for what we call the jing, you know, which is like our hormonal system. But before I jump back into it, let me just step back and begin to talk about the kidney as an overall view. So our kidney, from the Western perspective, right, it filters as our filtering system. It filters over 200 liters of blood daily, allowing toxins, metabolic wastes, and excess ions to leave the body through urine, right? The kidney regulate volume and chemical makeup of the blood. We talked about the role that the heart that governs blood, and the role that the liver that processes, the liver that governs blood, and the role that the heart that processes it plays in terms of the blood constitution in the body. The kidney also helps to maintain the proper balance between water and salts and the acid bases, right? Very important organ. Glycogenesis, which is like the balancing of the sugar levels through the blood, it controls that, especially during fasting, prolonged fasting, right? The production of renin to help regulate blood pressure, and of course it's the activation of vitamin D in our system. The kidney, like I mentioned before, is the one of the main things is to maintain homeostatic balance with respect to fluids, the electrolytes, and the organic solids. Continuous filtration of blood and by the alterations in the filtered fluid by secretion and reabsorption. This is all Western medical stuff, right? like I mentioned before, at minimum urinary volume, you know, equals about 500 millimeters to properly remove body wastes, right? Nitrous wastes also, it removes urea. Amounts will depend on the protein content in the diet. But again, urea, uric acid, ammonia buildup in the blood, all is responsible through the kidney. A lot of people with high blood pressure, renin, angiostensin mechanism, it controls that. They're going to function of the kidney. The hormone released by the kidney, etropietin, which works on our enteroid activity in the bone marrow, which creates red blood cells.
Okay.
Calcium, phosphorus, kidney produces an active form of vitamin D, which promotes efficient absorption of calcium by the gut. You know, very important. And functions go on. Protein, sodium, et cetera, potassium, calcium phosphate, vitamins, other minerals, and fluids, right? Unrestricted, if good fluid balance with or without diuretics. The main functions of the kidney, however, are to store the essence and to govern birth, growth, and reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is.
Kidney yang, or the original yang, is specifically responsible for removing for providing the motive force powering all the physiological processes. It's the motor. As the external manifestation of kidney yin, kidney yang acts on the Mingmen fire that serves to warm the body as well as engender transformation and movement. The Mingmen is a point on the kidney bladder, on the kidney meridian, that serves, like you say, it provides the fire. It's a very important point that Qigong masters work on and try to make strong, because that point provides a lot of our daily functions.
Okay.
So the Mingmen is called the gate of fire. It's one of the functions that we protect and we work on every day along the kidney meridian. Since the kidney is also the root of both the pre-heaven essence and the body's yang qi, long-term kidney yang vacuity or deficiency will result in kidney yang deficiency for other organs that depend on the kidney as well, right? For example, long-term kidney yang deficiency or vacuity will lead to spleen yang vacuity, while prolonged spleen yang vacuity will negatively affect kidney yang. So the organs most likely affected by the kidney yang vacuity is basically the spleen, the heart, and the lungs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to focus this lecture today on the kidney from the Tree of Life Qigong.
Okay.
I've been pulling from a whole lot of TCM books and medical books on the couple of lectures, but I want to focus in here on the Tree of Life Qigong, because I think that's gives you the best introduction to the kidney system.
Okay.
Right. And so the kidney, one of the things that the kidney we mentioned before, let me just go through those slices. Constitutional inefficiency, the lack of nourishment of the pre-heaven, the aging process, the enduring illness, excessive sex, damaging kidney qi, all that's responsible for kidney. Physiology of the kidneys, it stores the essence, governs water, it absorbs qi, it engenders marrow, it governs bone, it connects with the brain. Its luster is in the hair, opens the air and the two yin orifices, the anal and the genital orifices, and it related to the urinary bladder. Now, let me drill down into what I just said,
okay,
each one of those, right? The kidney system is in charge of the jing. The jing is what is at the core of our body functions. How do the trillions of cells making up the body function in harmony with each other and the whole body? That is through our hormonal system, right? The secretions of the endocrine glands, right? They are at the center or the core, unifying all the functions of the body. They do this by carrying instructions to tell the cells and the organs at what level to perform their functions. So due to the fact that a person's hormonal profile is largely determined by their genes, the Taoists declare that the energy, that the kidney energy system governs natal or constitution. And I know you had a question way before about prenatal chi, right? And the predisposition to illnesses and healing potential. It goes on to say, I think we talked about a little bit about the kidney Jing when we said that. I think we gave some examples of the women, of a woman, cycle, seven cycle, right? One of the best understood, perhaps this is if you look at the Chinese medical life cycle of Jing. And we talked about one of the oldest and the most important texts, the Quan Di Ne Jing, states that a woman has a seven-year cycle. And I think we gave it a couple weeks ago. We talked about, you know, every 7 years, there's a change in our life.
Right.
You know, from, you know, the Jing's and the rise from the first 21 years, I'm sorry, and it plateaus until around 28 and begins to decline. Growth, maturity, decay, and death follow the rise of the and decline of the Jing, right? So from the birth to death, right?
Okay.
And I think we also talked about the kidney. Let me just go back to the cycle. Let me just go through that cycle just so we're pretty clear what I'm talking. From birth to seven, the health of the Jing can be seen in the growth spurs of the youth, right? At 14, the dew of heaven changes in the polarity in the pituitary that activates the sex hormones into activity. So therefore, her menses arrives. The conception vessel flows, and the penetrating extra meridian into the extra meridian. This is seen in the arrival of our menses and productive capacity. From 21 to 28 years of age, the Jing plateaus. Its strength is seen in the appearance of the wisdom teeth, and the peaking in strength and development of tendons, bones, and body. Past 35, the Jing begins to decline. Right? We see this at 35. The hair begins to thin. At 42, the grain sets in, right? These changes are due especially to the decline of the function of the yang meridian. Those factors that were responsible for the woman's reproductive capacity at 14, the filling of the conception vessels and tai chi vessels, they're all reversed when she hits 48, 49, and resulting in the loss of fertility. After that, the general body begins to decline, and death begins to set in. We take it for granted that the age that we are talking about, this is about 35,000 years before the birth of Christ. So, of course, there's been a lot of development and improvement in life cycles. So those are just relative years.
You know, I was going to ask you about that as it even relates to the men and their eight-year cycles, if I'm not mistaken. It was in boys, right? I mean, it's an eight-year cycle, 8, 16, and so forth and so on. So when it comes to the men in eight-year cycles, I mean, like you mentioned, this was like written 3,500 years ago, 3,000 years ago. There weren't processed foods, and, you know, the air was cleaner, you know, the world was a different place. So with that eight-year cycle, you know, starting off at 8, and then, you know, like you said, the gun is loaded at 16, and then at 24 is at the peak, and then, you know, would that eight-year cycle have changed over these, you know, thousands of years to, like, maybe 5-year cycles, you know, whereas, because, I mean, with all of the stuff, the junk food and everything, the, you know, bad diet, the air is not clean, I mean, with all of this, would that impact the cycle or shorten it so that men and women age much differently or more quickly than they did back when this information was presented to us thousands of years ago?
Yes, of course, it has changed. And where we use the general term men, when we drill down more into that, because there's a great disparity between the health of black men and white men.
Okay.
Right? White men enjoy many of the long-term benefits that black men do not enjoy. So I can drill that. I can take away the term, the general term men, and if you drill it down to the black men, then we're talking about something that's even more alarming, that we don't live maybe through those 8-year cycles, maybe a 6-year cycles.
Okay.
You know, because of the bombardment of health illnesses that have been plaguing black men and black women. You know, you can go back to enslavement, you can go back to post-enslavement, you can go back to the 60s and 70s, and these alarming figures have been red flag over the years, that black men and black women do not enjoy the same benefits as their counterparts, you know, in the white population.
Okay.
Yes. So that's what. But it's important for us to know this and to know what are those disparities or what are those indicators that would allow us to enjoy health and longevity. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about since we have been targeted, you know, for bad health through, you know, bad foods, bad practice, bad daily living, that we need to get back to this so that we can think of longevity not only through us but also the next generation. What are we giving into the next generation? You know, that should be better off than we.
You know, I love the fact that the way we're approaching this and how you brought into the discussion the Tree of Life system of Qigong, and it ties in because I know that the divinity piece, which is very important, our self-identity is going to be tied in to this, and it creates a very holistic approach to wellness, as opposed to, like you just mentioned earlier, you know, just going in the park and doing some Qigong for physical health. But, you know, with the Tree of Life system, I know it's going to take into account, you know, man's divinity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I can't wait to get to that piece. So let me just drill past it by saying that the kidney system is also responsible. I think I mentioned this just before, water passages. We know that the most important role that water plays in our health.
Mm-hmm.
There's been so many weighing in on this. While every health practitioner admonishes us to drink at least 8 ounces of water daily, hardly anyone speaks about the ability to utilize the water transported into and out of the cells. Right? An important sign of aging is the drying out of the body's outer tissues. Wrinkling, right? Mm-hmm. Now, maintaining a healthy water metabolism, which plays a much larger role than discussed here, is an essential goal of Qigong. It is accomplished with exercises, with herbs, with stimulation of the meridian points that we're talking about, with meditation, etc., etc. The kidneys are also responsible for the marrows, the bones, the brains, nervous system in the ear. Right, it governs and the substrate of the marrows of the bones, which according to our Chinese medicine is the same substance that is the foundation for the production of the matter of the brain, the nervous system, and the maturing and growth of the bones. The growth and prevention of grain of the hair of the head is also regulated by the kidney system, which with essence from the liver system. The kidney function is also seen in hearing, which diminishes when the kidney essence is weakened or a drop in the gene, right? Along with the lung system, the kidney also governs breathing, especially the ability to breathe deeply, especially in meditation, right? Emotions, let's talk a little about emotions. The kidney system is the foundation of someone's entire life as seen in the phases of the gene, which she talked about. It governs the person's ability to carry out those life functions or life projects that extend over time and require perseverance, endurance, grit, focus, determination, right? How many times we have given long-term projects that we can't accomplish? You know, let's say the projects are supposed to be a year or 6 months. After 2 months or 1 month, we give up because we don't have that. So we don't have the ability to carry it over a long period of time. That's our kidney system.
Now, would that be a kidney deficiency and or a yin or a yang deficiency?
It could be yang. It could be yang, or it could be the combination of both. Let's say also the kidney system is the foundation. We talked about the jing, but let's talk about some of the disorders of the kidney system, right? So when the kidney is not functioning correctly, is seen in problems in growth. We talked about, you know, the ability to grow strong, right? So now we have retarded issues in our system. One of the big emotions with fear, the kidney is excessive fear, right? Zi, the Chinese call this zi. Zi problems, which is related to the inability to follow through and carry out long-term undertakings, the lack of willpower, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can you carry on a system if you can't, you know, sustain it, or what we call grit, right? The intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the intolerance to cold, problems with the bones, the teeth, premature balding, graying, problems with sexual organs, reproductive functions and sexual performance, impairment of the hearing, water metabolism, kidney organ and bladder functions. Yes, that's our kidney system, right? So all those are related to the kidney system. Let me just touch a little bit about the bladder.
Okay.
The urinary bladder, again, like I said, it's temporary storage and reservoir for urine, right? That's a storage piece there. It has the periuterus transport urine from the kidney to the bladder. The urethra transports urine from the bladder out of the body. The bean-shaped kidney lie in the retroperitoneal position in our superior lumbar region and extended from the 12th thoracic to the 3rd vertebral lumbar vertebrae. The right kidney is in the lower than the left. It's a little lower than the left, but it is crowded by the liver. The lateral surface is a convex, and the medial surface is concave, which gives a vertical cleft called the renal hilus, leading to the renal sinus. Some of the TCM functions with the bladder, we have when the bladder is not function correctly, we have bladder coal setting in, right? We call it bladder vacuity coal. And what causes that? Excessive sexual activity, right? So that's something we need to talk about, because we're talking about excessive sexual. What is the appropriate norms for sexual activity, right? Men, excessive activity weakens the kidney yang, leading to the urinary vacuity coal, right? Women and men, early sexual initiation, including puberty, right, also is weakened in the long term, the kidney function, that weakens the bladder function, right? I know I'm saying things that people are like, what? What are some of the exterior factors leading to the decline? Excessive exposure to cold, or living in cold and damp places. Women are particularly vulnerable to exposure to invasion of cold, especially during menstrual cycle. You know, that's one of the key thing with the menstrual cycle. It could be due to cold, it could be due to stagnation, it could be due to qi deficiency, etc. Those things are good for the practitioner to know, so to know what kind of qigong to do, right? What are some of the patterns? It's almost similar to the kidney yang deficiency and kidney yang deficiency, right? The bladder derives the qi from the kidney, so therefore it is affected by the kidney and its ability to transform fluids, right? Kidney yang is deficient, the bladder cannot control the fluids. causing them to leak out, resulting in incontinence. Right? Now, that's a big piece I just said there, because a lot of older men or older women have urinary incontinence, right, where the urine just leaks out,
mm-hmm.
right, and they're trying to figure out, well, why is my pants wet? You know, why is my clothing wet? And I don't know, is this coming out? It's because the kidney yang is deficient, is weak.
Mm.
Right, so you build out that kidney yang, then you're able to have that urinary stay in the bladder. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the signs and symptoms? Right? Patients usually pale. Right? We mentioned urinary incontinence, lower back pain, dizziness, nocturia while urethral discharge, feeling of cold or coldness all over the body, right? This will lead to urinary coldness. So let's say, okay, we don't have the issue with cold. Let's say we have an issue with just now the bladder being weak due to qi deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
This impairment of the bladder or of the bladder qi is related to transformation, related to inhibited qi transformation of the kidney, lung, and triple warmer. It is a functional disorder of the bladder preventing normal flow of urine. Signs, difficulty urination or inhibited urination, as opposed to the kidney yang. First, we talk about the urinary just leaks out. This is the opposite now, where the kidney, you can't urinate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's inhibited. Right? Instead of, so what happens when it's inhibited? Then everything backs up. Right? The bladder backs up into the stomach, right? And you get distension, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to, in addition to the cold and the weakness, there's also heat that may be captured in the bladder, right? The fluid received by the urinary bladder is the impure fraction received by the kidney from the lungs and from the small intestines and the large intestines. So the ability of the urinary bladder to retain and transform the fluid depends on the kidney qi, especially in the kidney yang. If these are deficient, guess what? Urinary bladder cannot perform or retain the fluids. There's also a functional link between the urinary bladder and we never talked about this, but the Sanjiao's or the triple warmer. Since the primary function of the triple warmer is to move and metabolize the jinn, if the Sanjiao function is impaired and therefore the free movement of the jinn, the water passages becomes obstructed, damp may accumulate, and the stagnation may become damp heat. The situation may be aggravated if there's even something worse like depression of liver qi. And there is heat, especially damp heat in the liver and the gallbladder channels. If the heat moves downward into the small intestine, then this heat can move into the urinary bladder, linking with the small intestine and the heart. The UB is linked in physiologically and pathology with all other the other organs via the metabolism and the movement of the jinn. Signs. Vary on whether the pattern is based on deficiency or excess on the organ, disharmony. Generally, there may be cloudy urine, right? Perhaps with blood, or if you have kidney stones, the kidney stones will show up in the urine. Frequent urination, difficult urination, urgent or painful urination. There may also be signs of heat like thirst with no desire to drink. If the damp is predominant, then there's fever, and this shows up in your tongue and your pulse, and there may be signs of dampness with for the practitioner, they call slippery pulse or greasy tongue. So the UB disorders commonly involve the functions of the UB in storing and directing urine, and in opening and closing of the urinary bladder. Therefore, it manifests as changes in urination and abnormal sensations in the lower abdomen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so so again, so since the urinary bladder is wrapped up with the kidney system, we will do the same kidney tonification exercises for these problems along these lines.
Right? So if there is a stagnation or stasis in any of the organ systems, but since we're talking about the kidney, urinary bladder, let's say there's a stagnation in the urinary bladder system, organ. Now, since that's going to be a blockage or, stagnated, will that back up, for example, like a plumbing into, let's say, for example, if there's a blockage in your plumbing in your physical house, that could back up something and cause something else to, overflow or something. Can a stagnation in one organ system cause a stagnation in another? And the reason I ask that is because, for example, blood is always flowing. Blood is coursing throughout the whole body, all the different meridians in the body. So my guess would be that if it's stagnant in one area, that's going to cause a backup, like a car backup. If you're on the highway, if there's an accident, it's going to stop everything. So is that the way it works in the body? If there's stagnation in, say, the kidney or the urinary bladder, would that in turn cause a backup in a different organ system?
Right, because we mentioned, for example, I mentioned that the liver and the spleen, the lungs, were all related to processing of chi throughout the body, right? We give an example just now. It says like, okay, if there's backup, if the kidney yang is weak, right, then there's going to be a backup in the urinary bladder, right? That may end up causing either the urine to leak out to assist the bladder, or it may cause it to not come out the bladder, right? So you have difficulty urinating, or you may have frequent urination. So the kidney yang is weak, right? And so therefore, since the kidney and the urinary bladder are related, you saw that all that backup systems happen. But in terms of processing metabolism and fluids, right? So the kidney is also related to the liver and the spleen.
Mm-hmm.
So if the kidney yang is weak, then the fluids passing on from the spleen system cannot get into the kidney can't use it, right? So that's going to cause a backup now eventually in the spleen system, the liver system. And that's when people have what we call systemic organ failure, where all their organs just like decline instantly. And they have, and of course death follows. But that's that's why it's important that we use that prevention piece that we talked about with Qigong, that through our daily practice of Qigong, our systems will not back up, our signals will not stagnate, our systems will not become depleted, right? That it allows the fluids, the blood, the qi, the jing, to flow constantly throughout our systems.
Got it.
The importance of Qigong. You've got to do this like on a daily basis. One of the things that I didn't share with you before is that we talked about, I put this in the five element balancing Qigong mode. We didn't talk so much about, some of the origins of Qigong, right? And how it's related to the Tree of Life, right?
Okay.
The Qi of Gong, Chinese Qigong, right, really start from the teachings of Kundalini Yoga, which starts with the blacks of ancient India, that's known as Indus Kush, right?
The Dravidians,
right, so the Indus Kush took the teachings to China, right, and the Indus Kush, part of Kush, black nations, all related to Kemet. So when the great yogi, Dharma, right, brought the teachings to China. An essential element in Kundalini Yoga is the notion that the body's main energy is distributed through those organs and spirits, through the seven centers that are located in the channels in the channel. The Shushana that courses through, some say, the center of the body, others say along the spine, these centers are known in the Hindu tradition as the chakras, right? And mm-hmm. these centers have been the most guarded secret in all spiritual traditions, as they are the prime centers for the distribution of the body's and spirit's energy. They are the keys to physical, psychic, and spiritual powers.
Hmm.
Let me say that again.
Please.
And we're dealing with Qigong, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're dealing with these psychic centers, right, that have been the most guarded secret in spiritual traditions, because they are the prime centers for the distributions of the body and the spiritual energy, right? And, of course, misuse of such powers, misuse of such powers can result in to wreak havoc on the world. Then I think the author of The Tree of Life compared that the damage that can be the havoc that it can wreak on the world can be worse than nuclear weapons. Another Another reason is that the simple fact that the majority of people who try to access their power lack the enlightenment to avoid the great dangers that accompany the conscious manipulation of those forces. That's why we do Qigong and meditation together. We do mm-hmm. the scripts to guide our spirit and the Qigong to move the Qi. Yet they cannot be ignored. The failure to work on them and the ignorance of their expression is the source of the misery in the world, the author says, right? Especially man's inhumanity to man, which can be worse than man's fall from grace with God,
mm-hmm.
right? So the author lays some heavy stuff on us with that, that developing the chi and allowing it to empower itself is closely aligned with the spiritual bodies. And when this unification comes together, we have heaven and earth maiden, and we also have it is such a powerful experience that is more explosive than atomic energy. So therefore, it becomes the most guarded secrets in mm-hmm. terms of being able to raise your chi. And this is the contribution of ancient Egypt to the world through Ra theology, right? Before it became Kundalini and Qigong, it was Ra theology, basically,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're trying to bring this tradition back by allowing people to not only develop their physical endurance, but their spiritual power. You know, that will result in change in the world. You know, if you have no questions, what I want to do is to wrap up what we did before. Let's go back to see what Qigong is and yin and yang and qi and blood and you know, try to tie it all in. Is that okay?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay. So we talked about qi, right? You said qi is the it came from the Taoist Chinese term, right? And our tradition is called Ra, right? And it's the basis of all living orgasms, right? The subtle mm-hmm. form of energy is the agent of all physiological functions, emotion, thoughts, perceptions, the activity. Gong means study. So qigong is the deep cultivation of qi and energy, right? Qi makes its access into the world through yin-yang theories or yin-yang attribution. Like the atom and the electromagnetic force in nature, qi exhibits two polarities, right? Positive and negative, yang or yin, right? In the Chinese tradition is yang and yin. In the Kemetic tradition is shu and tefnuth,
mm-hmm.
right? And the two symbols is the traditional depiction of the interdependence and the relationship of the two polarities, right? Yin and yang reflect all forms of characteristics existing in the universe. The energy of qi of all living manifests the gender, health, vitality, and expression of all things depend on the relative balance of the yin and yang expression. Illness is the manifestation of this imbalance and the loss of vitality, and the goal is healing their restoration. The Chinese tradition, life science, aims at teaching the restoration of vitality of one's qi and the balance of yin and yang functions of the qi. So if you are not born with a good egg, that you have a poor constitution, you can improve on it and achieve a long and healthy life by concentrating your work on qigong. Right? Mm-hmm. Improvements in the constitution will be seen in your greater resistance to illnesses. Right? You know, sometimes, you know, not all benefits show up like the way we want it to show up. It could be like I have something, a pain in my foot, and I keep worrying about that pain, but I don't see the benefits. Like during the whole winter, I had no illness. I had mm-hmm. no colds. I had no, illnesses to run to the doctor. While I'm focusing on this pain in my leg, I'm not seeing the benefits, the other benefits. The mm-hmm. improved healing, the greater strength and endurance, the improved sexual performance and libido. So by mm-hmm. understanding the connection of the organs to the constitution gives you a focal point for which you can practice your qigong. The chief goal of qigong, which means life force cultivation, is the harmony of the physical, emotional, mental functions with the demands that life presents at any given moment. I need to repeat that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The goal of qigong is the balance, the harmonization of my physical, emotional, and mental functions so that I can meet my life demands at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
That is the ability to spontaneously respond with the right thoughts, feelings, and actions in any given situation, guided by instincts or intuition, without any kind of preparation or premeditation. What does this mean? This means by constantly practicing qigong, we develop some innate abilities. And now one of the innate abilities that we're talking about is the ability to respond to life challenges in mm-hmm. peace and joy.
Mm-hmm.
That is what Chinese meant by when they say that the Tao, when the Chinese talk about the Tao, and when the comedic philosophers talk about the Mao Keru, this is the sign that of true health and a high degree of spiritual cultivation. Right? Let me talk about, if you're over 40, it doesn't matter how you feel. Practice every day. Don't wait until something happens, you get to the end stage of stasis before you start saying, I need to do qigong. By then, important issues may have already suffered serious damage.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you can help prevent this with the, we mentioned with doing the stasis breathing. Right? Mm-hmm. We talked about the equilibrium of the body functions is the goal of all our healing systems. So by balancing the energy that flows between the five organs, right, which is the 12 meridians, this is our goal. Most protocols don't really achieve the full objective because even though they're well indicated for a specific ailment, the underlying imbalances is not addressed. And we talk about the underlying imbalances is the lack of spiritual alignment. You can expect physical improvement in the overall wellness and emotional well-being, right? We touched a little bit about qi and blood and the stasis piece. And we talked about the stasis songs have really been effective in such a manner that they have been incorporated by most hospitals in China,
mm-hmm.
TCM hospitals in their treatment of various disorders, right? With the practice of qigong, again, qigong, the postures increases the amount of vital energy. And we said that qigong is like the master conductor of the body. The channels, when the channels are dug, the energy is produced and distributed throughout the body. Since qigong works directly with the flow of the life force, it can induce some very subtle changes. It moves to our internal system, cultivating the life source. To the external, it uses breathing and rapid exercises and movement. to control the will, to direct the force, and to achieve its goals. The internal systems, like you say, uses deep, slow breathing, thereby increasing the body's capacity to absorb energy automatically. A major advantage of the internal is to remove blockages from the vital life force. And there are three fundamental states of consciousness. We talked about it was the waking, sleeping, and the in-between. In the waking state, we are able to exert our will through our thoughts, but the spirit which is in charge of our habits is not receptive. In deep sleep, the spirit is most receptive to change, but you do not have the use of the will. So therefore, we use the middle approach or the meditation, right, where we can share in the virtues of both systems, waking and sleeping. In this state, the will is active and the spirit is receptive, and we can gain access to the middle state through techniques of meditation, right? Mm-hmm. We mentioned in Qigong healing prescriptions, if you're under 40 of age and relatively good health, you have none of the signs and symptoms that we described for the last 4 weeks, you might still want to perform tonification and healing songs daily, because we said it is preventive, right? And it will stop a lot of the pattern of decline, of health decline. So we want you to go through on page 57 of the Qigong healing prescriptions. It lists the organ profile. So make sure you go through each one of those and find your organ profile, right? The Tree of Life system provides the laws of the spirit and the words of the power that awaken the parts of the spirit from which these laws emanate. The Taoist Qigong system provides the means of prescribing, you know, the herbs, the acupuncture, the Qigong, the energy emission, the breathing movements, you know, color therapy, et cetera, into the alignment with the 11 laws of God, which comes from the Tree of Life, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about bodily fluids, you know, which includes sweat, saliva, digestives, urines, and the last one was urines, that helps to keep the organs, you know, skin, muscles, membranes, etc., moistens, and flowing. So this happens, this move, and see, when the damage of the body fluids, or we call the Jingwei, when depleted, are generally temporary and show signs of thirst, dry mouth. You know, with the Ye, it will show fluids, thick fluids when people are depleted, are generally more serious, and depleted Yin fluids, the treatment usually takes longer. The symptoms include dry mouth, et cetera, et cetera. We talked a little bit about the Jing, or the kidney essence, which is the primary substance responsible for growth, development in the body. We talked about it also being the source of the prenatal qi, which nourishes the embryo and the fetus during pregnancy, and is also dependent on the nourishment of also the woman's woman's kidneys. So essence, blood, qi, stagnation, all comes into this. You wrap it up into this grand system of Qigong, which offers the ability, you know, when all this is enlivened and enhancing the person, to directly assist in healing others. You say that once you have filled yourself up with the abundance of qi through this daily practice and meditations and herbs, right, that it will, through many months of consistent practice, you'll be able to share your qi with others. And we said this is analogous to, like, recharging a dead battery through the electricity generated by, you know, leading one to charge from one car to the next, right? This is accomplished in our system by waving hands over or touching the depleted person, right? Not only can you boost the energy of other people through surplus, you can share specific types of energy. We talked about energy connected to the organs, the liver, the kidneys, the spleen, by focusing on the appropriate healing song of that organ, so that you can give energy to the person. Right?
Well, let me ask you this, at that point. What if you have an individual who, let's say their energy is low, or let's say it's high. Let's say the energy is normal, but you know the attitude is poor. I mean, you know, because like with Qigong, I could see Qigong affecting the energy of someone who, let's say, might be, you know, they're lacking the get up and go. You know, they're, you know, just kind of moseying around or whatever. No, you know, they don't want to do anything. But let's say attitude thing, you know. Can Qigong affect, because you have people who are negative, I mean, just in terms of energy, you know, if, let's say, for example, somebody encountered somebody with a bad attitude, even though it's just the attitude, they would say when they left that person, oh, I had to get away from that person, they were just so negative, you know, but they're talking about the attitude, the person, their energetics might be there, I mean, they might be, you know, be up and about or whatever, but it's an attitude thing. Can Qigong affect in that way, or is that another conversation altogether?
Well, what did we say earlier? We said earlier, the chief goal of Qigong is the harmonization of the physical, emotional, and mental functions, right? With
mm-hmm.
to meet the demands that life presents at any given moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that given moment, somebody comes in contact with somebody else who has low or negative or bad qi, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
and their response is that, oh, I got to get away. What does that say? Immediately, that either that person's chi is low, right? Or if it was at a surface, would it be affected by that negative energy that a person is giving off?
Uh-huh.
No. So enable the practitioners to spontaneously respond with the right thoughts, right? Remember the thought that the person, I got to get away?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the right thought. In order to enable that person to respond with the right thoughts, feelings and actions in any given moment by the intuition and spontaneous, without premeditation, preparation of any kind. So
mm-hmm.
that years of practice that they have cultivated, it will enable them to respond with the right thoughts
mm-hmm.
and not the negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if they're not responding with the right thoughts, it means that the person needs to practice
mm-hmm.
more, right? And this is related to, let's say, the goal. Let's say God created the world in order to experience pleasure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And created man to serve as the vehicle of its consciousness and will in the world, right? The goal of man's existence is what? The goal of man's existence in this world is the enjoyment of life through and with God. Am I right?
Right. Yes.
So the enjoyment of life cannot be secure by anything that is painful that has not been absolutely eliminated. The elimination of pain from our lives through such thought processes is secure by sharing God's essential energy state, which is the state of peace we call Hetet. The
mm-hmm.
Chinese or the Taoist call Wuji. The Hindu tradition called Nirvana. The goal of existence and of earthly life then is the attainment of happiness. Right?
Yes.
So if I'm in that state, will I have such thoughts as to get away from the person that's having a bad day or have bad chi? Right?
That's more a reflection of your condition than theirs.
Yes, sir. So to expedite and optimize the process of transcending negative conditionings, it is essential then to add the avenue of approach to the spiritual work, which involves working on the animal spirit, right? The animal part of the spirit and its connections to mental and divine parts of being. This is what I've been talking about all the time. This is the role of Qigong.
Mm-hmm.
This is the role of Qigong, to harmonize, right? So we talked about this spontaneous decision-making that we talked about,
mm-hmm.
it depends on what? It depends on the health of the heart energy system, which determines the condition of the Shen, which rules the clarity of perception and long-term memory. It depends on the health of the spleen system, which determines the condition of the Yi, which rules the mind's thought process, reasoning, faculty, memory, and abstract ideas. It depends on the health of the lung energy system, which we've been talking about, which determines the conditions of the animal spirit, the po.
Mm-hmm.
This order of the lung's energy system imbalances the shen, opening the ladder to the five negative emotions. The health of the liver energy system determines the ability of the shen to reflect the messages, right, from the hun, which is in the comedic tradition, from sphere 0 to 9. Part of these are the influences from heaven needed by the self to tame and retain the animal spirit. The health of the kidney, right, energy system, which we talked about today, determines the condition of the zi, which rules the short-term memory and the perceived ability to succeed on memory of the past successes and failures, which is based on our ability to preserve, to have the courage, the grit, to last over a period of time. Right? And this, this leads me now to our discussion of three huns. The three huns are the virtues, or the virtues are not the products of philosophizing. In the same manner that our emotions are generated by faculties in the animal spirit, right? Virtues are generated by faculties in the higher parts of our spirit, or the faculties that are associated with the spheres of the tree of life. So how to deal effectively with the emotion is a concern that man has from the beginning of time. They have been symbolized by the serpent that instigated the fall of man in the Hebrew tradition. The serpent, Apep, that attempts to devour Ra, which is Kundalini. The five thieves of Taoism and so on. It doesn't matter, it doesn't take much of a look at the world today to conclude that not much progress has been made throughout the world, throughout the history of mankind, right? Because they have basically not developed this spiritual ability, spiritual access, right? Finally, the goal, which is the same of all, at the top list of all of these obstructions that prevent us, the raw from rising, is the depletion of the body's hormonal systems, right? Which is what we talked about today. That is a part of the kidney system, right? The depletion of the hormonal system, the excessive loss of sperm, sexual activity, and sexual emotional indulgence. This excessive sex leads to a deficiency of the at the source of it. It causes deficiency in the production of kundalini, in the production of chi, in the production of the raw force. And the excessive emotional indulgence drains away the kundalini as it does through the tai chi channel, thus depriving the other meridians and corresponding organs of qi. Do you understand that? Basically, what I'm saying is that when we indulge in negative emotions, excessive emotional things, it draws away the qi, right, that can go towards enhancing our ability, developing stronger organs, developing stronger qi, you know, in our systems, so that we pass this chi on to our next generation.
So right? That means every time you're angry, every time you worry, every time you're fearful, every time you're experiencing any of these negative emotions, you're depleting and draining your raw, your kundalini, your ki or chi, whatever term you choose to use. And you're basically disrupting your constitution. So then, correct me if I'm wrong, please. So let's say you take a person who, for example, the other night, Sanu Pura was on and we were talking about Bazi and parenting. So let's say, for example, you take a couple and they want to have a baby. They're thinking about starting a family. But they're fighting every day. You know, they're going at it every day, back and forth. You know, they're worried about this and worried about that, fighting about this, angry about that, fearful about this. Then that would affect the constitution. As they come together, then that could, correct me if I'm wrong, determine the constitution of the child, correct?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, because every time we engage and add the list of dietary bad foods and stuff to that list too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every time we engage in these, we develop a program in our spirit, right? The emotions have their origins in the instincts of the animal part of man's being. Our
mm-hmm.
instincts have a legitimate function, which is to ensure the survival and health of the physical body. The problem is that their program is too rudimentary to cover the sophisticated issues of man's spiritual life and enters thus into a conflict with these issues, right? The goal of Qigong is to root them out and destroy them. The function of the Qi, the answer, as such statics will result in the destruction of the body health and compromise our ability to respond efficiently, right, to changes in the physical environment. The solution involves the use of spiritual laws communicated to man's mind through the higher parts of the spirit to reprogram the mind's expression of the instinctive reactions. It is the mind that must be reprogrammed. So
mm-hmm.
therefore, the use of spiritual laws constitutes the influences from heaven that man must use to purify the earth, balancing heaven and earth, my friend, is the function of Qigong. This is the function
mm-hmm.
of Qigong, right? The unification, that's why I stress the unification of the Kemetic Tree of Life teachings, which show how to tap into the powers of the spirit, and the Taoist Qigong teachings, which show how to harmonize the body. By uniting the two methods, a rapid and a thorough healing of the body and the spiritual growth can be effected through working with each other, as opposed to by themselves. A thorough understanding of each of these systems is revealed to the insightful that originally both systems were complete in themselves. Before the working of increasing the flow of the Kundalini is undertaken, the negative emotion complexes must be removed.
Mm-hmm.
All that mm-hmm. negative, it must be removed from the pole or the chakras which reside within the Tai Chi pole or the channel that runs up our spine. Or some people say, otherwise, all that negative emotion will increase, the life force will just go to give more strength to those emotional complexes,
mm-hmm.
those negative complexes. Deeper enslavement and illnesses instead of spiritual liberation, right? Which is what we are aiming for with Qigong.
You know, Brother Shekometu Netta, someone's got a question, so I'm going to bring them on right now, okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to call the last four digits of your telephone number, 6402. You're on the air with Shekometu Netta. Welcome to Health, Wealth, and Divine.
Yes, yes. Dwalu for both of you guys for spreading the information and having the vehicle to spread the information.
Thank you.
Yes, and I had a question, if it wasn't too off the subject, if you could touch on, like, laughing Qigong?
Laughing Qigong, yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
So anything specifically about...
How does that incorporate into the Qigong system or like into your routine and stuff like that?
Right. A couple of years ago, there was somebody that wrote a book on they didn't call it laughing Qigong. They called it laughing something. But what it shows that by laughing, right? Remember we talked about the goal of life is peace and enjoyment and joy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Laughing is seen as one of those elements that will bring or uplift that joy fullness into your spirit, into the heart chakra, right? So by
mm-hmm.
laughing, you're actually doing Qigong. It's one form of Qigong, you know, to laugh. You know, there's
okay.
I think there was, I don't remember the book, but the person was talking about they laugh for hours and hours. Many people who are sick, who have stasis, cancer, right, laugh for hours and hours and hours and actually reverse in their essence and in their physical organs, the illnesses that they were suffering. Yes, so laughing is a form of spreading that enjoyment as opposed to the negative side, oh, I got cancer, I'm going to die, what am I going to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
You begin to do the
mm-hmm.
opposite, which is lift your life force through laughter. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have another question, my brother?
Yes, one more. About comment on, like, what is your take on chi machines? You know,
right.
What's your take on that and helping chi and supplementing along with chi, act doing the qigong all day? Like, you know, is that a good auxiliary?
It is an auxiliary that can be used in, I use chi machine, you know,
mm-hmm.
to increase my life force, you know, to help. A lot of times, like, you know, like you say, if you do it in a constant, if you have a constant routine to it, you will
mm-hmm.
see the results, you know, more easily as if you do it sporadically, like once a week, once a month, you know what I mean? So try to establish
mm-hmm.
a routine that I do this maybe 20 minutes a day or 20 minutes each other day or something like that, and you will see it will, they do work. It because they tap into the electro system of our body, which is the chi system, and it helps to lift the chi.
Okay. All right.
I use one. Did I mention that I use one? Yes, I use a chi machine too.
Anything else, my brother?
Yeah. No, that's it.
So, yeah, see, you can use it, but I say, you know, just establish that pattern, and
mm-hmm.
so you can program your spirit, or program the chi into your spirit through that machine so that it will help to uplift your chi also.
Okay.
Have you been following the whole series, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, I have. But this one, I caught it late, but
mm-hmm.
I have been following the whole series.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate your call, my brother.
Thank you for calling.
All right,
calling.
Take care.
All right, that's it. Yes, sir. Still there, brother?
Yeah, I'm still here. So thank you for giving me the ability, the opportunity to share some of these teachings of Tree of Life, Qigong,
mm-hmm.
with others. Again, I mentioned there's a source of this information is through the teachings of Dr. Ron Nefer Amen, Shekhem Shekhem, through his Tree of Life, Qigong, healing prescriptions, books, and DVD that is available at TaliNetwork.com. So if anyone needs to follow up with those, you can purchase those material from there. And it is much more in-depth than I've talked about. I've only touched on some of the areas, but he has spent pages and pages on each of those areas so that you get a more in-depth understanding of the role of chi in the development of chi in the Tree of Life Qigong system.
So
again, thank you, my brother. You know,
oh, wow.
It has been my pleasure. It has been, you know, great, you know, an excitement for you to share with you, to talk with you over the last couple of weeks on the development of chi and this practice that is taken over by storm, taken the world by storm.
I'm appreciative of you coming on and sharing the information, and I'm, you know, I know you've been very patient, you know, with us, and I, you know, I know that it's without the, you know, the physical presence of somebody in front of you trying to explain a system as in-depth as Qigong could be challenging, but I think you've done an excellent job sharing the information and, you know, very concisely, and I encourage everybody to continue to go back and listen to the archives, because again, that's going to be very beneficial as you gain an understanding of Qigong. Now, for those who live in an area where there might not be a Saraset HESP, which of these books, I know, well, get all of them, you know, but if there's one that does the demonstrations, I think that's the Qigong Success. Is that the one that with the healing sounds, the tonification sounds in it, that people that aren't able to get to one of the, you know, classes that they're holding all across the country and even the world, if they just happen to live in an area where they just don't have access to being able to physically be there, the Qigong Success and the DVD, they can get the DVD and actually see the Qigong in action, correct?
You are absolutely correct, but also the Qigong prescriptions help them to map out, it's like, It's like going to a doctor's office and having a doctor give you a diagnosis. At the back of it, there's a profile. And if you tick off what illnesses, what, you know, conditions that you have, physical and emotional conditions that you have, you will arrive at a diagnosis to say, oh, this is what I got to focus on, my liver chi or my kidney yin or my spleen meridian, you know. And these are the exercises or the qigong exercises that I have to do to uplift or heal my system. So, yes, the success
is good. I was
going to
ask you.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir, please continue.
Yes, the success is good. It will give you those. It will give you the demonstrations along with the DVD. But you got a powerful piece of mechanism of information of the prescriptions that you should take a look at, and you can do it over a period of time. Like this month, this is what I tick off, right, as the things that are bothering me most, and then next month you will be able to say, oh man, that's healed. I don't have that no more. So then I can work on other areas. You know what I mean? It's like going to a concert. It's like paying $500 and going to a concert to tell you what's wrong with your system and how you can heal it. You know? And this is what we talk about when we talk about qigong. It's a self-inducing mechanism where you have to involve yourself in the healing process and don't become dependent on others to prescribe for you.
And lastly, my brother, if we could, I know you've touched on it, but I really think that the point needs to be really driven home for brothers and, you know, the sexual behavior, just the retention of seminal fluid, because, again, that's a piece that affects, you know, our overall health, the condition of our chi. I mean, because, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, once you expel that, you know, you're ejaculating, that energy or chi is leaving your body. I mean, and it's powerful. So could you just touch upon the importance of that? Because, again, I don't want brothers to think that that was just something we just, you know, briefly touched on, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's life or death, correct?
Right, right. So we don't see, you know, when we're in our budding youth, we don't see it as life and death. But as we grow older and our body becomes more weak and it has a rapid decline, that's when we begin to see or revisit our behavior. Excessive sexual behavior or losing of the seed too often, you know, is related to our essence, right, our kidney essence. And as we indulge in it over the years, some of it excessively, you will notice that the decline becomes more rapid in the way we look, in our skin, our tone, in our hair, in our teeth, in our bones, in our water passages begin to dry up. You know, the bones become more brittle, arthritis, the ices set in. You know, all that is related to the loss of seminal fluid in our bodies. You know, that if it is retained in our system, according to TCM, it goes up to our brain, right? So it affects our memory, becomes sharp, as opposed to lagging. I forget, you know, losing memory or hearing. What did you say? You know, screaming above our voices because, our nails, nails begin to, our hair, our teeth, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We begin to lose those functions related to our sexual promiscuity, right? So we have to learn to preserve that. In the olden times, the only time you lose seminal fluid is when you're making a baby.
Right.
And if you're not in the process of making a baby, you know, then we get caught up in this Western thing of pleasure. You know, and relate, and once we relate that to the pleasure, then we do the drugs, then we do the alcohol, and we do the sexual promiscuity, all because we're chasing this false god called pleasure. Right? So, and I try to tie that in earlier to show that, you know, the two functions, the things that we want again is peace and joy, right?
That's right.
And if you don't have peace and joy, then you're going to have pain and pleasure. the pleasure that leads to pain, as opposed to the pleasure that leads to joy and upliftment. So, yes, as men, we have to look at that function as a part of our enhancing and building of kidney essence that will lead us towards, you know, again, leaving something in the bank for our next generation.
And for all the women
out
there.
You don't want to leave, what do we call it, an empty bank, was it, bank book? An empty account for our next generation. They come up and says, where did my father leave me? Oops. All of these decrepit things, right? The empty slate, as opposed to, oh, man, you got some strong bones. You got some strong tent. You know,
right.
You know, you got some, you sharp. You know, you mine. That's what he left you. That's your bank account.
And for all of the sisters out there that are listening, please, if you're listening and you have sons or, you know, mates, husbands, brothers, cousins, relatives, fathers even, you know, I encourage you to encourage them to listen to this information. Please share this information, not just with, you know, listening to it for yourself, but you have loved ones that can benefit. We can all benefit from this information. So if you're hearing it, my sister, then please share it with your father, if he's still around, your uncles, your cousins, your brothers, your sons, your coworkers, you know. Share this information, what you just heard. That last piece is just as important as everything else that was shared during this series. And so I just want to encourage everybody to, again, please share this information because it's life-changing. Shechem Metta Aneta, again, I want to say thank you, my brother. Again, these interviews have been so very powerful. I've been going back and listening to them over and over, and I know that there are others that have as well. Again, to those who are taking the Qigong courses from the Aseraset Society across the country and the world, please add this to your classes, okay? You can get another perspective. It's the same perspective, but a different, maybe a different conversation than what was being discussed at your particular class. You can come back and you can hear this information, and you can, it's just going to reinforce what it is that you're learning at your classes. And so I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Got a couple of announcements to make. First, I want to say this. We've got another series planned that you don't want to miss, okay? And it's going to be with my special guest today, Shechem Metta Aneta. And he's going to be talking about Behutet. Would you talk a little bit about that, my brother?
Oh, sure. So so the Behutet, I've written a trilogy, fictional trilogy called Behutet, and the destruction of man, the defeat of the Sabaoth, and the warrior within. So we're going to be talking about that comedic trilogy. I say comedic because it uses the cosmology and the customs of ancient Egypt and apply it to the lives of some characters so that we can see that, you know, they're living the cosmology and the Osirian Oset experience is a part of bringing that cosmology back into the world. And I've chosen to bring it through the work, the fictional works of Behutet. So the Behutet series, we talk about that, and it is basically a struggle between a Pep and Behutet for the restoration of Ra and the development of the Ra theology back into the world.
Wow.
It's an excited series. It's an excited series.
I can't wait for it. That's going to be starting in January, on the first Friday in January. So you want to mark your calendars for that. Okay, so first Friday in January, you're going to be starting a brand new series with Shechem Metta Aneta on Behutet. And I guarantee you, you're in for a real, real treat with that. Also, I just want to make sure that I mention this, that on this Saturday, okay, there's going to be part three of the Winter Solstice Preparation, and that's going to be held, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, at the Sinbeb Wellness Complex at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest Washington, D.C., and classes begin at 5 p.m. There are going to be oracle readings available, so you want to know what energies you need to for your success in 2016, you can get an oracle reading to determine that. Again, that's going to be part three. That's going to be Saturday, December the 19th at the Sinbeb Wellness Complex, and that's at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. Classes begin at 5 p.m. Get there early. Okay. I went to the one on the 5th, and it was packed. It was packed. I couldn't even get in. I was out in the hall. Okay, so you want to get there early because I know that there's going to be a lot of people there. So make sure you get there so that you can get a seat. Okay, so again, classes begin at 5. And if you want more information, please dial 202-630-2507. Again, that's 202-630-2507. Again, I want to thank everybody for all of the positive feedback that you've been giving me concerning the shows. Again, it's my pleasure to do this, and I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time out to just drop me a line just to say how much you're enjoying it. And, you know, please, again, the archives are so important. Go back and listen to the archives. We got shows with Shechem Tebrahim Sa'ah. We've got shows with Orwa Hehemeturan Comet, who's doing a series now with me currently on the Asante model and how we can look at the Asante and actually gain insight into what made them so great and how we can actually take some of those principles and add those and use them today to our betterment. We've got shows with Hekshem Suharu, Shechem Me'ad Nateh. Of course, we've got shows with Shechem Meshechem Ra'un Nefer Amen. The first, we've got shows. Just did a powerful interview with Shechem Sa'antaku Nenebu on preparing for the winter solstice. You definitely got to hear that. That's very, very powerful. Got shows on the Tefu conference with Orwa Tahuti Kamo. And again, that's in the archives as well. So if you just scroll down the archives, you'll see shows with everybody. Okay, we got shows with Queen of Four. We got shows with talking about entrepreneurship with Professor Joseph Geiger. I've got guests that have cured cancer. You know, Brother Coy Dunstan cured his mother of cancer in both breasts, the liver, and the colon. He's a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. Dr. Ruby Lathan, she cured herself of thyroid cancer. Her shows are in the archives as well. So there's a lot of information there for you to benefit from. So, again, as you prepare for the winter solstice, again, be sure that you, you know, go back and listen to these shows because this is going to be food for you. Also want to let you know that if you're tuning into this show and you're a regular follower of this show and you like this information, you're going to love the Tawi Blog Talk as well. So I encourage you, that's T-A-U-I, Tawi Blog Talk Radio. If you like this show, you're going to love that show, okay? So definitely go over there, Shechem Meshechem. You're going to hear all of his shows. I mean, he's got other guests on as well, so definitely check that out as well. Brother, again, any parting words for our listeners today? Again, I want to say Tu'au has been an awesome, awesome series, and I can't wait for the next one. Any parting words for our listeners today?
I guess one of the most important things is for you to realize that the Qigong series is not just the physical practice, but it's also a spiritual training. So that's what you want to remember, that it will help you to remove all those negative emotions from your life. It's another mm-hmm. system that will help you to move away, you know, the negative indulgences. And this is a period as we go into the winter solstice, that's our focus, is to remove those negative indulgences so that we gain, you know, the benefits at the epiphany, right? So with yeah. Qigong, you know, this is what we're focusing on. We focus on building up the qi and removing those negative emotions in our spirit so that we can enjoy a life of peace and joy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, my brother, thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. I'll be in touch. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
That was Shechem Mehta Uneta, my special guest for this powerful, powerful series on 5 energy balancing Qigong. I know you enjoyed it as much as I did. And again, I encourage you to share this information with others because, again, we're trying to make not just our own persons and our own families and our own communities better, but we live on a planet that's full of people and everybody needs this information. So please share. That would be awesome. Okay, so until the next time, everybody, again, thank you so much. Who am I? I am the one. who in giving receives more. Who am I? Who are you? Until the next time, at the pool.